You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, don't you? Yes, I really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's not good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for more, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show, where we are freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Just a reminder for everybody, we have a number of media outlets now that we're using to communicate information on. One is obviously our website, thecommonsenseshow.com, and you'll want to go there. Every 24-hour cycle, we have anywhere between 5 to 7 new items that are up, a combination of YouTube commentary from yours truly, articles from me, occasionally throw in stuff from the Hagmans or from Mike Adams, and good variety there, really good variety on the website. Encourage you to check it out. Also, we're on YouTube for the moment. And the reason I say for the moment, because they're practicing communist Chinese censorship. That's right. And you may have heard they're taking down a lot of people. They took out a friend of mine, Lin Lias, when I was over at Before It's News writing for them. She was there too, and she had good videos, and she does a lot of Christian stuff. Very little politics. Bottom line is, YouTube, and Google who owns them, anti-Christian. And when my pastor said 2 weeks ago in church, he talked about a couple of these things in general, he said, this is a spiritual battle. Amen to that. Pastor Don, amen. You were so right on that. And folks, this is what we're looking at. Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, put a pitchfork in front of their office buildings because that's who they represent. And they are the worst form of censorship. Anyway, they're going to catch up to me. But right now, we are on YouTube, and we're doing some damage to the New World Order, and I just wanted to make everybody aware of that. Well, this show has some great sponsors that make it possible. Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals. And Steve is on, I've been following Steve by that website. Incredible stuff he's coming out with, the TV Legends and all. Oh, man, he's into so many things right now. I can't keep up. We need to get him back on the air to talk about some of the things he's finding, which are really remarkable. But he also has a precious metals company called Renaissance Precious Metals, and I'm a customer. So Steve and I are not only friends and colleagues, we also have a business relationship because I believe in him so much, and he's the most low-pressure sales guy. He's no pressure, almost negative pressure, because he'll tell you, if you don't have enough money to get into precious metals, go buy food and water. So the precious metals are going to carry you through when the powers that be either give you a haircut on your bank account or steal the whole thing altogether. You need to get the majority of your cash out of the bank, except for a month or two, and you need to put it in precious metals. And I don't trust anyone more than Steve Quayle. 406-586-4842. 406-586-4842. Well, you've heard about my back struggles. I've talked about them here, and I'm sitting here right now about 5 to 10% pain-free. A week and a half ago, I couldn't even sit in a chair. You wouldn't believe the prone position I had to broadcast from and how I had to set this up when the back hit me that first Sunday. Oh, my goodness. Well, Dr. Ted was in Greece. How dare he go away when I need him the most? Well, he came back, and I had already been put on a course of steroids. Oh, talk about being like the Macy's Day blimp in the front of the parade. That's what it does to you. It's bad, bad, bad stuff. And it really didn't touch the pain all that much. Ibuprofen, all the other stuff, and I won't take painkillers. So Ted comes back, and I said, Ted, I don't know if you can help me. And he said, Dave, magnesium sports oil. Absolutely. Rub it on. And he says, you're going to feel instant relief. Well, I wouldn't be doing the things I'm doing now. I'm back to pretty much normal activity. I'm going to go hit some golf balls on Tuesday. So I'm getting back, and it's because of Ted. And how many times have you heard me say, it's because of Ted? How many times have you heard Doug Hagman say, because of Ted? I go to Ted before I go to my doctor. He just has to be in town. And so Ted had this wonderful vacation. Glad he had fun, but I needed him 3 days sooner than I got him. But he's really helped me. And working on another thing, too, is I got another condition involving the spine with some arthritic spurs, and Ted's prescribed me some stuff, and we're going to go that route, too, and I guarantee you I'll be coming back on here after I have a follow-up x-ray, and we're going to be saying, wow, look what he did here, too. He can do that for you. Go to healthmasters.com, whatever your condition is. You'll see the 800 number. You can call for a consult, and they got the staff there that's really helpful, knowledgeable, and they'll tell you what you can do, what you can take, and they'll get it right out to you. Healthmasters.com. And if you mention me, if you use the coupon code DAY5, they'll take 5% off your order. And one more sponsor for this hour is Numana Foods. And going back to what Steve Quayle tells people, and you don't have enough money to buy precious metals, you should buy food. Well, if you're not going to buy from Numana, you need to buy from somebody, because it needs to be part of everyone's emergency plan. Everybody needs a storable food plan, so at least buy from somebody. But Numana is the best I found, and that's why I represent them. Great quality tasting. It's almost restaurant, not almost, it is restaurant quality. And then it's low price, convenient shipping. Go to numana.com/Hodges and take 5% off with the coupon code Hodges, NOV5. And I hope you get started sooner rather than later. And you go, I don't know where to start. Start with a grab-and-go bucket. 72 meals. You can take them and go, or you can store them. That's numana.com/Hodges. Well, let me tell you about the show tonight. And we got a darn good show tonight. I am so thrilled to be doing this show. We have some of my favorite people coming on here. In just a moment, we're going to have the young gun of the Hagman and Hagman Report to help me with the Hagman and Hodges News Hour. Joe Hagman, and I'm so thankful for Joe. I mean, he's a young, handsome guy, and he's younger than most of the people that are in the independent media, and my 16-year-old needs Joe Hagman, because he'll be here for a long time, a lot longer than I will be. And so we'll be talking to him, and we're going to get into the Charlottesville thing, and we're finding all the old suspects are involved. And then in the second hour, we're going to be joined by Paul Preston, and there's major developments in the State of Jefferson movement, the CalExit movement, the Oroville Dam, major updates, and I think there's major issues going on with one of the splinter groups, and we just keep uncovering more evidence. They were invited, the splinter group, who I'm at odds with. I think that they're really, really bad for the movement. I invited them on the show, and all I heard was... And my response is, back, 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 back. That's right. I don't do good farm animals, but I think you got my gist. And then in the third hour, with all the crap going down, North Korea, everything else, threatened EMP attacks, our government's preparing for bio attacks. We're going to talk about that in the third hour. We have Bob Griswold from Ready Made Resources on. So it's a jam-packed show. Let's get right to it. Mr. Joe Hagman of the Hagman & Hagman Report, 4 to 7 Pacific, 7 to 10 Eastern, right here on this great Global Star Radio Network. And he also has a morning show. John Robertson's part of this, too, and you've heard John on the show, and he's talked about that horrible thing called child sex trafficking, and his Hollywood spirit came into it, and Joe just laid it all. I'm telling you, John just laid it all out. These people, they're on top of their game. Joe, welcome to the show, and tell me about your second endeavor now. How's that going?
Well, Dave, thanks so much again for having me on, as always, and thanks for mentioning the new show. You know, they're going great. Both my father, the Doug Hagman Show, that airs at 9 a.m. each morning, and then the Hagman Daily Show, which is John and myself, airs from 2 to 3 p.m. each day on Global Star Radio Channel 3, as well as on Blog Talk Radio. And we archive it on iTunes and all the other podcast archives. And we just started to, at least I started to, put one show a week up on YouTube. Either Saturday or Sunday, I'll take what I think is one of the better shows of the week and throw it up there. But the shows that 2 weeks now we've been going. Monday through Friday. So we've added 10 hours of new content a day between my father and myself and John. And it's really, I love doing the other show and having the other show there because, you know, with the main show, the Hagmann Report, it's me and my dad in studio, as it has been for the last six and a half years. And, you know, we've gotten to a certain flow and we have lots of guests on. But on these daily shows, I mean, I can just, and my father can both just let loose and, you know, talk about what's really on our mind, what's really on our hearts. And, it's nice to have that. Be able to do that when you have the other show also that we both come together and work on and talk about the issues and then also have, you know, a lot of guests on. But it's a great addition, and I want to thank you for mentioning it. And again, the Hagmann Daily Show with myself and John Robertson is the name of the show, and we are 2 weeks in, starting our third week tomorrow.
I got to tell you, with you partnering with John, I guarantee you some of those Hollywood ne'er-do-wells are cowering under their desks. How do I know
that?
Well,
you know, I don't
know
about
what John
that,
said on my show. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but and the reason I say that is because when you know, John, a lot of what his expertise was is that he was in Hollywood, worked in Hollywood for, you know, almost 15 years, and he talked about what his story was basically about how his spiritual journey led him to see some of the truths in Hollywood and all the crazy stuff that goes on there behind the scenes. And, you know, me and him, he just moved to Erie, where we are in the last week, and we've been spending a lot of time together, obviously. And, you know, he told me that one misconception that people have when he talks about Hollywood and exposing Hollywood is that most of the people there are evil. And he explains, you know, we get into the compartmentalization of Hollywood and how everybody's just, you know, doing a job to make a living for the most part. But, you know, you have these people who are at the top, you know, the owners of the studios and the companies and whatnot. And then you have, you know, the top-tier actors and all the different players in Hollywood, and how, just like in government, you know, in the top positions of power in government, you have these people who, for whatever reason, maybe they're so rich and have so much and done everything that they're so bored that they just want to, you know, engage in this evil, or they're just evil at their core. But yeah, it's very interesting to, for John, who basically was blacklisted from Hollywood for coming on our show and talking about it in the manner that he did, is now, you know, part of the Hagmann and Hagmann team. So it's, but what we don't talk about that a lot on the show, about the Hollywood stuff. John and I have a great rapport together, and we get into anything from, you know, current events, what's the most important stories of the day, to special interest stories, and most importantly, matters of the heart. And we really just let the show go where the Lord takes us. You know, we do the show prep, but more often than not, most of that's left on the table because, you know, we go in 10 different directions. So it is exciting. It's a change of pace.
I think it's awesome. I'm so glad to hear you guys are doing this and that John is on the air. He's been a terrific guest on this show, and I'm very, very pleased that you guys have that endeavor. Well, Charlottesville. I tell you, what a mess.
Yeah.
Joe, are you a white supremacist or a white nationalist?
Oh, goodness.
Let's explain that.
Excuse me. You know, this is something that's really taken, that's really come on the scene again since the running for presidency of Donald Trump. This you know, white nationalism, this white supremacy, it's always been there. You know, you have these neo-Nazi type groups, and then they'll try to throw the militias in there. But under Obama, and even under Bush, if you go back to the Department of Homeland Security lexicons where they describe different groups of people, and there was one specifically in 2009 called domestic extremists, where they talked about Christians, gun owners, people who are pro-abortion are domestic extremists. And then they lump in, you know, the Aryan race or the Aryan gang and white supremacy, where they talk about groups that are more ideologically driven along racial lines, and we know that those groups are out there. But I'm sure, Dave, just as like in your experience, just like mine, you rarely, I mean, I can't tell you the last time I came across somebody in the what's considered the alt-right or even the alternative media who had these white supremacist views or attitudes. And if we found out that they did, we would never deal with them anyway. Mm-hmm. So they're very isolated, I guess you can say, and very rare, at least in my experience.
Joe, let me
give
you a...
The media paints a picture that you know, everybody who's on the right is some kind of white supremacist, even if they're not white.
Yes. Yeah, if you have conservative views, you're still a supremacist. Well, let me give you the view from on top of Psychology Mountain. You know, I'm sure a lot of people remember from their undergraduate days or even high school, if they took a psychology course, that a guy named Pavlov had a dog, and the dog would salivate and see food, and then he'd start ringing the bell with the food, and eventually the dog paired up the food with the bell, so when it just heard the bell, it thought it was getting food, and it salivated like it was getting the food. And we call that classical conditioning. And I'm seeing evidence of it in the media. And here's what I mean, Joe. I'm seeing the interspersed use of these terms, and they're interchangeable. You're a white supremacist. You know, you're a white nationalist. White supremacist, white nationalist. The thought of one is bringing on the other. So when you hear white, you're racist. And if you hear nationalist, pro-constitution, you're a white supremacist. And they're setting this up to stick in people's minds that anyone who is a nationalist, they're conservative, they're for America, they're a white supremacist.
Yeah, and you know, it's we see the ADL, their recent partnership with YouTube to help weed out what they view as extremist content, which is more just conservative content. And the ADL ran a story recently where they did a exposé of the, you know, white supremacists in the alt-right community. And they listed a number of people who are, you know, have nothing to do with white supremacy or white power or whatever they want to call it. People like Brittany Pettibone, Tara McCarthy, Jack Posobiec, who's a frequent guest on our show. He wrote the book Citizens for Trump, and he's going to be on again tomorrow on our show. And Gavin McGinnis, I think, was another one. But they lumped these people in the report with people who are, you know, the head of the Aryan gangs in prison. Or it's really strange how they do this. But what, like you said, what Hitler said, too, you know, if you tell a lie, you know, constant enough, and if the lie is big enough, the people will begin to believe it. But in this case, I'm not sure that the people really do believe it, because we talk about this a lot. What the media does reverses what the average everyday working American pays attention to from what the media says and the issues that they care about. And we know from the Russia story and from this negative media towards Trump, the complete negative media towards Trump, that their propaganda is not working on a large segment of the population, like the silent majority. So I believe if you were to go around and do a true sampling of half Democrats, half Republicans, you know, 80% between the Democrats and Republicans and 20% independents, that you might find very few people who believe or associate the right with white supremacy. Now, if we look historically, the Democratic Party has been the party of racism. They were the party that was, you know, part of the KKK. They were the party back when slavery was voted on for it to be abolished. Nobody who was a Democratic voted to abolish slavery. But somehow, and Martin Luther King, he was a Republican, and Abraham Lincoln, he was a Republican. But they seem to be able to change history and made people believe that the right or the Republicans somehow are the party of hate and racism. Now, don't get me wrong, I have no love for Republicans, nor do I Democrats, except to the extent where the Republicans aren't the ones that are ready to drive the car off, you know, the country, if it was a car, directly off a cliff. they're just as corrupt as many Democrats, and that's, you know, most of the politicians. But, you know, then we have outsiders like Trump, who I believe is really an independent, who ran on a political platform of Republican in order to get in. But we have people who want to do good. I believe Rand Paul is a good example of that, and there are many others. But the majority are corrupt. But the perception that somehow today's conservatism movement is equal to some kind of white supremacist agenda, or making America great again is some kind of covert saying for make America white and great again. This is all the propaganda. It's directly from the media.
Well, it's just mudslinging. They're throwing enough excrement up on the wall. They're hoping something will stick. And what the target is here, and we forget this sometimes, we're not swayed by this. A good number of people in our audiences aren't swayed by this, Joe. They're after the 50 to 60% who sit on their sofa with a beer in one hand and a remote in the other, and they don't know the New World Order from the New World Odor. In fact, they may be the same thing. And that's the target, because what they're afraid of is the sound of marching feet. And so, you know, Alex Jones says it best, we're in an info war, and really who wins the info war is going to win what's happening, at least in the short term.
Yeah. Now, let's get into Charlottesville, because there's so much here that I want to get into. Sure. And folks, right now on Sunday at 8:30, if you look on Drudge, the headline of Drudge, I think this is one of the more important stories that's been underreported, definitely non-existent in the mainstream media. Police stand down responsible for Charlottesville violence. Now, I want to say first and foremost that the person who ran over that crowd of people in his car, if this person did so with any kind of malicious, and there's no justifying his actions, unless there is an argument for self-defense based on a few videos I've seen, but from those videos, those actions, there's nothing that can justify what he's done. Not that you would want to, especially if it was done with any kind of intent. But I believe there's also a possibility that the man got startled, got scared. His car was being pelted. It was hit with a bat on the back of the taillight. He probably could have reversed like he did after he ran over all those people to get out of there. But there's just a few things. If he wanted to do maximum damage, why not drive up on the sidewalk? But then again, you can say that the people were blocking the cars in front of him. He might not have seen those cars and just thought it was a lot of people. Anyway, there was a rally that was held. Now, at this on Saturday, at this rally, it was, what do they call it? A white nationalist rally, where I understand the real organizers and people who were there, the white part is left out. It was just a party on nationalism and on, you know, America, a rally for outside of anything to do with race. But there were groups in there that either came, that were invited, or crashed the party that were racist in nature, you know, the real white supremacist, if you will. Now, this is my understanding of the event. Yesterday, I didn't pay much attention to it. Today, I've been doing a lot of reading on it, except I have not been reading a lot of mainstream sources. Now, there's an article from New York Times that I just pulled up, which is what I cited earlier about the McCulloch counters critics of police response to Charlottesville violence from the Drudge headline, saying police stand down is responsible for this violence. Now, from what I understand happened yesterday, the people who held the rally, whether you agree with their speech or not, they had the right to be there. They had the permit. They were told by the police officers out of the blue that it was an unlawful assembly. Now, there was the Antifa people there and Black Lives Matter people there counter-protesting. And people like Faith Goldie from Rebel, she was there on the ground. I think she actually took one of the main videos that everybody saw that was on the news of the actual incident. But what happened was the police shut down the rally and then did not stop the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter from throwing rocks and using weapons against these people. From what I understand, it was almost like a riot-type scene where people were being beat up. And not only that, the police made the people attending the rally not be able to exit in a manner that was safe, but made them walk back through the counter-protesters. Now, that's a problem all unto its own, and it could have led to what this kid did, and his name... Oh, goodness, I can't remember. It's James... let me get my notebook here. I got it right here. It's pretty interesting because his name's important because the name is... there's a story that... a storyline with his name that is very similar and might shed some clues on a different angle of this that nobody's really talking about him not actually being the driver. Now, that's just some speculation and theory there, but it's an interesting one at that.
Joe, can you reorient it just a little bit? Because we're getting some garble.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go. That's better.
No, I'm on a landline. I'm not using my computer Skype tonight. And because of that, I think the sound quality might be worse than usual. But, okay, back to Charlottesville here. The man who crashed into the crowd with his car, his name, and it's escaping me, I can't find it right now, it's James something. But he was 20-some years old. There's pictures of him standing with a group of friends before this incident happened with his car. And there's some inconsistencies. People saying the car that is his did not have racing stripes on it. But if you look on his Facebook page or his social media pages, the car that he had put or did have racing stripes on it, which you can remove racing stripes and put those on very easily. So that's not really a thing. There's a lot of conspiracy talk about this. People are saying it's a false flag and then trying to offer their own version of truth to this event. But whatever it is, it is directly due to the division and rhetoric from the mainstream media, from the deep state, who continue to push this divide towards, between Democrats and Republicans and everyday Americans. So we won't focus our anger together against, the powers that be. Instead, we're fighting each other. That's one of their favorite tactics is divide and conquer. But whether this was a white supremacist taking, vengeance on these Antifa people, or whether if it was somebody running for their life, the media has already ruled it a terror incident and has blamed it on Trump. And
yeah,
there's a lot of gray area here. I know it just happened, David. I'm not sure how much of this you've seen or looked into as far as the alternative theories that are out there. But there's some interesting things we found. One of the things, if I can real quick, is the license plate. Now, the license plate of the Dodge Charger that the assailant was driving is GVF1111. And on the AP interviewed this guy's mother. She was in her garage in a wheelchair. And the man has two cars. The other car was in her garage. And the license plate of that car, which was a different make and model, was GVF1112, right in order. And I was doing research before the show on the Virginia DMV website. It's not a vanity plate because it starts off with the three letters and then the four numbers, but they are sequential to another. So I'm trying to figure out how somebody is able to get license plate numbers that aren't vanity plates and special ordered, that are the same letters and only one number off from each other for two different types of cars. And I don't know how that works, so that's one angle that I'm looking into.
Not a conspiracy joke, because there's no such thing. let me give you my take on this, because you asked me, and I forgot the answer here, but there's a lot of limited information and a lot of baseless, not fact-based claims. Here, I'm going to go back to the L.A. riots. Bill Curtis, when he was on A&E, did a show called Anatomy of a Riot, and it was about the L.A. riots. And he gathered up home videos and turned them into an hour-long production and really did a good job. And one of the things that you see were the 71st Street Crips were going into the street and grabbing people's purses, pulling them out of their car and beating them. Some of them were hanging on to the side of the car as the car was moving. And Joe, I have to tell you, if I didn't have a bat or something to hit them with as they're trying to come through the window, I'm gonna drive away. And if people are in the street trying to stop me, person against car, you're gonna lose. And no one has an obligation to stop a car and get beat to death. And
we've seen this before.
If I had to make a judgment today based on limited information and all I have, I think this guy was trying to get away.
Well, you know,
now I could be proven wrong on this, but that's what I think right now.
In my initial reactions, I don't know that. After he hit the people, he was definitely trying to get away. I'm not sure if he was scared or startled. I guess there's a few questions that need to be answered. One, he was at this rally. What was he doing at this rally, and what was his purpose there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what group was he with? Then he's obviously he drove there. He has a car. Why was he driving in this direction and toward the crowd? The crowd shouldn't have been in the street in the first place. The police should have controlled the counter protest and upheld the permit that the rally did have. And then there's some questions as to was he provoked. Now I'm looking at a video that I saved, and I can send it over to you, Dave. I know it won't do much good on the show tonight, but it shows him slowly driving down that street before he sped up, before he started to charge the crowd, and a number of people hitting the back of his car with baseball bats, like near the bumper, and then somebody either throwing something or punching the side of the car. And right at that moment, when somebody hit the back of his taillight, that's when he seems to speed up. So there might be some basis in truth in the fact that he got scared. But at that same time, just in my mind, if I was in his shoes, that would not prompt me to step on a gas when there is nothing but a sea of people in front of me. And reverse would have been the easy way to go because there really was nobody directly behind the car. So whether this was an intentional attack or not, I don't think we'll ever get the truth from the media. I don't think it matters at this point, except for those people who search for the truth.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, your audience, my audience, and a number of other people. That's why we'll continue to look at this.
But Joe, you're giving a completely logical answer. Could have and should have.
That's what we try to do.
And you know, I agree with you. You look, to me, you would hope that someone would be rational enough they'd look for the path of least resistance to get out of harm's way. You already said, if they're hitting the car, and I want you to send me the video, if they're hitting the car and attacking the car, he's next. So I understand the fear. Here's the problem. Fear-based response in driving an automobile may not go hand-in-hand in this instance, and I'm not making excuses for the guy. I'm just saying there's more to this than first-degree murder like they're talking about in the media.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the difference between being reckless and then, you know, fearing for your life versus, first-degree murder is this guy left his house intending to do this and, you know, intended to do so with a vehicle and the way he did it. Now, I'm going to send this video off to you, Dave, now so I can hopefully get your reaction to it on air. It doesn't show a bunch, but when you do look at it, you can see those few people who are making contact with his car. Now, again, to me, that doesn't justify anything. You know, we should always look for the path of least resistance. But again, you know, what does this car attack, if it was, say, intentional, and this guy planned on doing this, where have we seen this pattern before? Strictly with, you know, Islamic terrorists in a number of nations. It seems like it's a tactic of ISIS or Islamic terrorism. And, you know, who is some of the closest partners with Islamic terrorists? The democratic leadership, the people like George Soros. So if that's the case, you know, who knows if there is a connection there along those lines. But we're definitely not getting the whole story, and we're going to really have to dig in order to recover that truth and those truths. We are going to have to look at his social media feeds. We're going to have to look at, you know, his political allegiance. Was he really a white supremacist? And for the media to blame Trump, and even though he came out and you know, denounced the attacks as violent and horrific, and I'm not sure what exactly he said, I'm paraphrasing, the media has still taken him to task and is still basically say, you know, this is the average Trump supporter. That's what they paint. This is a gold mine for the left-wing media.
Joe, I was walking down the hallway of my house, and I found a load of poop on the floor. My dog must be a Trump supporter. I'm sick of the logic. I'm sick of the crap. I'm sick of the nonsense. The ridiculous bootstrapping that's going on here. I mean, if your toilet backs up, your kitchen sink doesn't work, you shrink the laundry, it's Trump's fault.
And Dave,
it's ridiculous.
You just reminded me of a meme I saw on the internet. You know, the pictures with the phrases on them, and there were two dogs sitting there and a pile of poop behind them, and the owners had just come home, and the dogs say, "Thank God you're home." It was the Russians, you know, making fun of Hillary Clinton and the media. It is really funny.
We've reached a low point here now, but okay. Anyway, Joe, that email has not come through.
Okay, I just sent it, so you should get it too. Now, this guy's name is James Field. The gathering was Unite the Right. That was the gathering there. He killed the 32-year-old woman, injured 19 others. He's been charged with second-degree murder, 3 counts of malicious wounding, and failing to stop at an accident that resulted in a death. Trump did say he condemned the violence on all sides. But, you know, again, we go back to this. How come the left, these Antifa, these Black Lives Matter, or anybody else, are allowed to, if it's against Donald Trump, if it's against conservatives or conservative speech, how come these people are allowed to riot, are allowed to, you know, basically burn down Berkeley, burn down Baltimore, give them room to destroy at the inauguration, running wild, breaking storefront windows, police told to stand down time after time after time again, to the point where at Berkeley you had a number of conservatives, if you remember, the based stick man was real popular for taking his big stick there and hitting people in the head. But when you have college professors on the left beating people, you know, sucker punching them with bike locks to the point they're fracturing skulls and macing women in the face who are just, you know, standing there. One incident was a reporter, and the police do nothing. What do they expect is going to happen? And again, this is exactly what these globalists want. They want the American citizen to fight their neighbor, their brother. Again, because think about this. If we dissolved all party lines and put aside all differences and said, we're all going to, as citizens, going to focus our energy towards the real problem, we would head straight for Washington, straight for these elites, and there's nothing that these people can do. But just like the shooter in Arlington, Virginia, who shot Steve Scalise, you know, these, you know, are they Democrats or Republicans practicing? When is what he allegedly asked. The rhetoric from the media and the way that they've been painting conservatives is so bad that it's going to continue to bring about violence. And when you see retaliatory violence or violence toward that other side, I mean, maybe this guy got sick and tired of watching people getting hit in the face with rocks and sticks and the police standing there doing nothing, that he said, hey, I'm just going to, you know, plow my car through them. That could be exactly what happened. The police stand down could have something to do with it. But it's a terrible tragedy, and it does nothing good for the conservative movement. And when we have, you know, I see how quick the hour's going. One thing I wanted to talk about was something that you and I, Dave, have both been going through personally, which is YouTube demonetization. They continue to change their guidelines. They're continuing to partner up with, you know, the ADL, as we said earlier, to let the ADL determine who is, you know, extreme, what's extreme speech and what's not. Paul Joseph Watson even did a video saying he was basically done. They even demonetized his video that was, you know, talking about art just because of who he is and what he represents. Now, Diamond and Silk, a very popular YouTube page that was very pro-President Trump, basically what the page was about, have had their videos demonetized just this week because of the new policy. And they're saying, you know, what a video that was fine and able to be monetized 18 months ago, today is being demonetized because of the content is not advertiser-friendly. What changed during those 18 months? Well, it wasn't their content. It was the policy of YouTube. And I think some people are getting sick. Well, I know a lot of people are getting sick of this Google monopoly and want to bring class action lawsuits against them.
Oh, it's happening. I mean, it's happening.
We really need to use this opportunity to strike.
It's happening. The lawsuits are coming. And I will tell you something else about Google. It's not just YouTube. It's also on the website. InfoWars is down 50%. My friend Mike Adams, Natural News, down 45%. We're down 20, and we're down
below.
Yeah,
we're down 90.
Yeah, we're down 20% on our website last month, and we're down another 10 this month. But let me tell you what I found. I went into the analytics. I've learned how to read them now. My direct contacts, in other words, people say, what's going on with Dave today? www.thecommonsenseshow.com, and they land on the site. That's a direct contact. Now you go, you're on Google, and you go, oh, gee, I want to know what's going on with the riots in Virginia. And then if I've written something, boom, used to pop up in the first page, second page, and that's how I'd get what they call organic traffic. Well, my direct contacts, the people coming to me directly, are up significantly. But at the same time, my organic contacts are down dramatically. And that's not accounting for whether people like my site or not like my site. They're not being given an opportunity, if they're not familiar with me, to find me. It's Google playing games. And the precedent has been set. Do you remember, Joe, when they delisted Mike Adams and Natural News, and a lot of us went on the warpath on Mike's behalf?
Oh, yeah.
And so they set the pattern. Listen, they're going to get their backside sued, but more than that, you know, here's what my wife said, and this is straight to the point, common sense. The mantra we need to say is YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and all these globalist so-and-sos don't want to let you decide for yourself. They want to tell you what to believe. And the average person who really doesn't know about our movement isn't going to accept that. And when these lawsuits start, and they're starting, believe me, they're coming. I know, I've got a copy of one of them. When those lawsuits start, this is going to get some publicity. And I think it's going to hurt them. It's going to hurt their credibility. But, Joe, there's one more thing. I just did a podcast on this just today. It'll be out tomorrow. YouTube is modeling itself after China. And I showed how that's happening.
Yeah. You know, and we had a guest on this week, and I can't remember off the top of my head who it was. Lexi Best. But we were talking about this very issue, and I, earlier in the day, saw an interview with Eric Schmidt, and I don't know if it was Charlie Rose or if it was something completely different than a media platform, but he was asked maybe 5-10 years ago about what he considered to be bugs in the Google search, in the Google function, the search function, and he said, well, every answer that's different is a bug. He considered it to be a bug. He said that they won't be able to get all the bugs out until, you know, there's one answer, one correct answer for every question. So, you know, is man-made climate change going to destroy the Earth? You know, yes would be the answer to that. I mean,
oh, yeah.
The only point of use would be based on what the they want you to believe. Just like, you know, Mia Brzezinski said, you know, we tell you what to think. This is what they want. He believes, Eric Schmidt, the founder and head of Google, says there are bugs in his system until all the truth is taken away from the internet and from his search engine function.
Yeah.
And
let me tell you what the bugs are.
The establishment points of history will be accepted as truth.
There you go. I mean, that's right. I didn't mean to talk over you there, Joe. I forgot he had a second half of that quote, but here, and I totally agree with the application that you just made, but Google's founder's bugs are not in his process of censorship. They're in his heart. They're in his soul. This man's evil. Totally evil. They're all evil. We are, as my pastor said, and I mentioned this first part of the show, Pastor Don at my church said this is a spiritual battle. He knows what's going on. And he's right, Joe. This is a spiritual battle. And if we want to have a better planet, a better country, a better community, We got to be better people, and that means we need to be more Christ-like. Let me read something to you real quick. One of our listeners named Christine wrote in, and see what you know about this. I've already answered her. She said, could the driver's car have been hacked by an outside entity? And my answer was yes. It is called Boston Brakes. Joe, do you know about that?
Yeah. No, I do. Yes, cars can be hacked remotely. I don't believe it for a second to be the case in this instance. But yeah, I mean, look at one of the great questions of if that has happened is Michael Hastings.
Yes, I was going to mention
with
that.
The Rolling Stones reporter who died in on a California street. Somehow, his car sped up to a ridiculous speed and basically exploded, leaving the engine completely separated from the car, which is something that I believe Mercedes or whatever kind of car it was said that they've never seen before. So yes, mm-hmm. I mean, the CIA has had heart attack guns since the 1950s. They have sound weapons where they can actually make you hear voices. Look what we just saw in Cuba earlier this week, where they said that Americans had to come home in 2016 because they were attacked by this low-frequency sound that almost made them go deaf. They're going to have to wear hearing aids for the rest of their life. And one Canadian diplomat, too. They have the technology to hack into any and everything. And the cars are no exception. So, yes, they can. I just don't believe that in this case that's what happened.
Joe, look in your sent file, if you have it open.
Okay,
tell me when you sent the email, because I want to make a point here, because I think it was around 5:38. Maybe I'm off a little bit.
8:40.
8:40. Okay, so I'm pretty close now. 5:38 is on my time because I'm Pacific, you're Eastern. So 8:30.
Can I say your email address over the air?
Yeah, it's public. Dave Hodges.
Dave Hodges at thecommonsensual.com. Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's on my website. Now that was 40. So that was 12 minutes ago, and since that time, I've received 9 emails. And I'm up here looking for it, and it still isn't here. Gee, it's just a coincidence that our email is that slow on a Sunday night. You said, Dave, I want you to watch it and comment on what you see. And those don't want us to talk about this.
Okay, I just sent it again, and I hit send and receive. So hopefully it went out this time. But, the video doesn't show much, but it gives a different perspective that people don't see. And I wish we did see more video, 10 seconds, we'll say, before, 10 seconds or so before the car started to speed up. I wish we could see that video. But, obviously there's no way, nobody's trying to justify what happened here. We're just trying to understand. It was either an act out of adrenaline, the fight or flight response, or it was intentional, trying to mow down protesters on purpose. And that's all we want to know. We just want to know what the motivation was. And I don't think that we'll ever get the truth from the media on that. Did he have drugs in his system? I mean, there's a lot of questions that we need to ask. We haven't been given a lot of information except for what we have seen and what they have done by putting this rally, this Uniting the Right rally, as some kind of KKK movement, which I still, as we said before the show, we were talking before the show, I said I did not understand all the dynamics of who were the main groups involved and how this got turned into a white supremacist thing or a white nationalist thing. But, folks, don't be scared by the word nationalism. Nationalism is a good thing. Just because, Hitler liked German shepherds doesn't mean you shouldn't have a German shepherd. Nationalism is pride in your country. And,
that's right.
We have pride in our Lord and Savior first and his Ten Commandments and word. And then from there, as it says in Scripture, we are to respect government. We are to, engage and be part of that system. As his people, we're supposed to occupy until we come, and that includes our government. And we should be proud of our country historically, at least in the sense that it's done more than most countries in history, even in regards to spreading his word.
I agree. But listen, this is a notable event here. The most notable event was when we're coming on to interview Ammon Bundy, and everything on Global Star went down, even unrelated systems. The listen by phone went down at the same time the satellites did, same time the live stream did. So you have three different things going on at the same time. But here, you have sent me two emails, one about 4 minutes ago, and the other one here, we're going on 16 minutes now, and they're still not here. And let me address the little NSA guys, the McMaster's minions, as I'm calling them now. Let me address you for a second. We probably have a share of our audience who's getting their feet wet in this battle against the globalists, and they're seeing exactly how you operate. They're seeing how you don't, they don't want the truth out. You see, people resent that. I mean, the one thing, you're in a room and there's three people and two of them are whispering to each other. You think it's about you. And the bottom line is here, is they're showing us right here by blocking these emails from Joe Hagman to myself. They're showing the same kind of censorship that YouTube, Google, Facebook. And Joe, speaking of Facebook, I have one quick question for you, and it's got to be answered in about 30 seconds. What do you think about Zuckerberg posturing to be the president?
Sorry, I was muted there. I hope he runs. There could be nothing better, aside from Hillary Clinton trying to run again for the presidency in 2020, than Mark Zuckerberg himself doing it. I think he should announce his candidacy tomorrow, start raising money. I would hope the DNC would already fast-track him for the nomination, and that would solidify another Trump term, for sure, without a doubt. I believe the majority of the American people can't stand Mark Zuckerberg and can see right through him, and I believe that he would be Donald Trump's dream to run against in 2020. He would be very lucky if that did happen.
Unlimited funding, though. He'd make the Clinton Foundation look like a pauper.
Well, we saw from the last election that the funding doesn't really matter too much when she spent, what, $2 billion almost on the campaign?
Yeah, well, I know. I know. I know, but I, you know, an unrelated... Oh, I need to mention this, too. Vanguard America, I asked you that before we came on the air. ABC really ran them down. And so I went and did some research. It is your white supremacist organization, anti-Jew, anti-homosexual, anti... You know, you get the idea. I mean, they're Aryan by their beliefs. And I suspect a Soros front group is now feeding them money so they can participate. And I suspect, I don't know. So I wrote to them, and I asked them, hey, ABC really beat you guys up, and just curious, take yourselves off the hook. Where's your funding come from? And, again, just like the State of Jefferson 51 movement, the Splinter Group, crickets chirping, don't want to tell the Hodge, because you can't dodge the Hodge, they don't want to tell me. So that's it. Joe, we're out of time. Real quick, just mention the, I'll mention the book here, Stained by Blood. It's available on Amazon, stainedbyblood.com, and also on my website. The ads are there. Joe, great job, good analysis of the Virginia situation, and it ain't over. It's going to spread like stage four cancer. Joe, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Dave, and I wish I had my the Virginia information more put together, but as always, it's been fun. God bless you. You have a great night, and as always, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, and by the way, that email's still not here. Thanks, Joe.
Wow, okay. Well, I'll be listening.
Okay, my friend. With Paul.